Welcome, everyone, to a very special edition of the Hell in the Cell recap on Wrestling Soup. If you are just tuning in now, I am John Draper. Joining me tonight for this special recap is the one and only...
You know, I was just going to shout out everybody in the chat room, but I'm getting nothing but hatred right now. No, I think they're just joking around. Hey, big shout out to everyone. For everybody that's listening to this on the Patreon page and also the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, basically the deal is that Missionary... is having technical difficulties. He couldn't appear tonight. And Joey Numbers is currently backstage at Hell in a Cell. So basically, this is a Wrestling Soup / Patreon Don Tony, you know, joint effort, I guess you could call it.
Yes. And thank you all for tuning in to a very long, long Hell in a Cell pay-per-view night.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everybody in the chat room. I think we got about 231 people in the Mixler chat right now.
Yep.
Joey right now is somewhere at a post-Hell in a Cell party, I think, a VIP area or something like that, just getting blasted and having a good time. Hopefully, maybe we'll check in with Joey later. So thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. And thank you, Don Tony, for helping us get our recap up and running.
No, it's my pleasure.
Now, before we begin, I just want to say this is going to be for the Patreon listeners as well for the DT and KC show. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that is. And I just want to just mention very quickly, yeah, we do a pay-per-view predictions contest every month now. I have it on the Patreon page, and I also have it on our Facebook page. And I'm not going to get into the rules and everything else because obviously the contest is over since Hell in a Cell took place. But I would like to congratulate Mark Fisher from our Facebook page, who actually won tonight's pay-per-view predictions contest. He got 14 out of possible 16 points tonight. And also on our Patreon page, Ernesto Defensa. He actually scored 15 out of 16 possible points, and he actually predicted every match correct. The only thing he got wrong was that he said Charlotte was going to win by TKO. And when we get into the recap later on, I was like, holy shit, this motherfucker is actually going to go perfect tonight. But he got 15 points, and I will contact both of you privately.
All right, and congratulations to those two. Now, why don't we just get started, as this was a very, very long, long, long Hell in a Cell. It was a test of skill to stay awake for the entire thing for all of us.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So before we do that, let me see. DT, a lot of people are saying you are very loud.
I'm very loud?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Well, that's too fucking bad. Well, I'll take care of it on my end. Don't worry about it.
So why don't we get started? The opening tonight in the TD Garden, which as a New Yorker, whenever they say the garden, I get very confused, is Roman Reigns versus Rusev. Both of them looking a little weird. Rusev's chin beard thing is kind of freaking me out. And Roman wearing the Kane leisure wear. It was very Kane-esque.
Yeah.
And it looks like he had extra padding and for all the chair shots he was going to take tonight. Mm-hmm. So that match opened the card. Roman booed incessantly. All of his offense was booed. Now, Don Tony, how long do you think that match was? Because it felt like that match was about 25 to a half hour.
It went on quite long. And I will say this. It's funny because, you know, the fans early on were chanting, let's go Rusev, Rusev sucks. And I guess later on, like, they were against Rusev, but they didn't want to go for Roman Reigns. So instead of chanting Roman Reigns, they kept chanting USA.
Yeah, I wanted to hear some interesting chants. You know, Boston's a tough city. I have a lot of love and respect for Boston. It's Joey's hometown. And I expected some pretty hot chants tonight, but I think the audio might have been turned down. One thing I'll say about this match right off the bat, very long.
Yes, too long.
Too long, and apparently it needed to be long to prove that Roman Reigns could physically take any form of offense from a rhino to an elephant to a shotgun. He basically can come back from any form of any wrestler's offense.
Well, like I wrote on Twitter tonight, when Rusev took out the chain and was whipping Roman Reigns with it, you know, they were making comments that it could break a rib. It could injure your spinal column. And I'm like, whoa, even worse. It might actually dent his bulletproof vest.
Yeah, it's kind of easy to hit a guy with a chain when he's wearing a Kevlar vest.
This match was backwards. And I'll tell you why. Okay, Rusev you know, everybody's chanting, get the table, we want tables, get the table, we want tables. So who's the first person to try to get a table? Rusev. And yes, he threw the table down, but you think Roman Reigns would pick up the fucking table? No. And then on top of it, you know, you've been a wrestling fan since you were a kid. Who is the wrestler that always gets tangled in the ropes? You know, that gets beat up. I mean, it should have been Rusev tangled into the ropes, but instead we get Roman Reigns tangled into the ropes, and Rusev is hitting him with the Singapore cane into the fucking vest, and the fans are chanting, yes, yes, yes. And I'm saying to myself, there was so many spots tonight that it should have been the reverse. If you want to get Roman Reigns over as a babyface, there were several examples tonight. Cater to the crowd, pander to the crowd, take the table, use the table. It was just, I didn't like the match at all.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad match. I think one of the things that really hurt it was the length. I think you cannot stress enough that for an opening match, this should not have been the opening match, quite frankly. I think they just knew Roman was going to get booed in that market. Mm-hmm. Everybody's saying that the chain was plastic. I didn't catch that the chain was plastic, but it is Halloween, so I'm sure it's very easy to get a plastic chain. Roman came back from virtually every form of offense known to mankind. I was waiting for him to hit him with a car and then to have him get up. I mean, it was just embarrassing that they will not let this dude not recover from anybody's offense.
No. Absurd. Did not like it at all. And, you know, I'll tell you this much, too. And I actually wrote this on Twitter, and quite a few people commented the same way, too. This match did not feel like a Hell in a Cell match, with the exception of one spot with the ring steps on top of the top turnbuckle. This match could have been a street fight outside the cage, and it could have been done exactly the same way. And I almost felt, too, early on that, you know, we always hear wrestlers over the years say how they always try to, you know, outshine everybody else. They try to steal the show. And to me, it just felt like WWE told these two guys, you know, don't overdo it because we got two other Hell in a Cell matches later. And I just felt that they held back certain spots, particularly because of the other matches that were going to take place later on. And I didn't like that.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. But also, we all have to remember, on the night of the second debate, these two won about 35 minutes.
Right.
So we've already seen them go long. This, to me, the cage seemed inconsequential. It was basically a match about chairs, tables, kendo sticks, plastic chains, and, you know, and how much can Roman overcome. You know, they try to make Roman look like Wolverine, that, you know, like he could just overcome any physical ailment whatsoever. And it's boring already.
It's a magic vest. All the abuse was to the vest tonight.
Yeah, the vest actually took the main brunt of everything. I think Rusev got a nasty cut on his elbow at one point, which was the only blood we saw the entire night.
Absolutely.
He took a legit, probably cut from one of the 50,000 things that were throwing themselves around. Mm. But I thought it was kind of a weak match. It was a little too long. And it probably, in hindsight, I'm glad they opened, but they could have shaved that match down. Because we've seen it already.
Yes. And honestly, this pay-per-view, I thought was going to end at 11. I was like, can't wait to like do this pay-per-view recap so I could get to bed a little bit early tonight. And I'm saying to myself, it's fucking 11:15 and the main event is still going. They could have had Rusev and Roman Reigns end 10 minutes early. Still could have possibly been looked at as a much better match if they would have tightened certain spots. You know, I mean, when Rusev was teasing the table, it's like 2 minutes, you know.
Yeah, it took too long to set up these spots too, but we'll get to, because I think that was the theme of the night, was it took a long time to set all these things up.
Yeah. And I'm a stickler for perfection. You know, this is supposed to be the big leagues, and there was a couple of things that caught my eye tonight that, to me, I know the casual fan and the fan that doesn't care about tech, you know, the little technical issues, they won't mind it, but to me, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, and I think we're done with them. I think, mercifully, we will not see them fight again, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, which means tomorrow night they're doing another 45.
Yeah, you never know.
And now, moving on from that, was the next match the Bayley match?
Bayley versus Dana Brooke.
Now, Joey Numbers on his Facebook said there was a massive rush to the concession stand during the Bayley match.
You know, I'll say one thing about this match. I only wrote on my notes the outcome. And, you know, I've been very hard on Dana Brooke. She's obviously a little bit better, but she's still, her timing is off a little bit on spots. And I think Bayley is so liked. I think the fans just don't have it in them to chant boring. But this match did not impress me at all.
It was very quiet. I think as soon as Bayley's music hits, you get the, hey, ain't that great? All right. And then she makes her way to the ring, and it's like, hey, all right, it's Bayley. And then her opponent comes out, and you're like, I really want to get a hot dog. Yeah. And it was this, it was not a good match either. It was kind of flat. Dana is definitely better than she was 6 months ago. Sure. 3 months ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. But coming out of a very long match with a lot of near falls and a lot of, following a Hell in a Cell match, very flat. I don't blame either one of them. I think they're not a good matchup. Dana's being booked badly. Bayley, coming off that terrible spot with the arm wrestling. I don't know if they both could have overcame that, but Joey Numbers said this was a big let's go into the aisles and not watch.
Yeah, segment. Yeah. You know what? They could have taken some of the attention off of it. They could have had Nia Jax come out and just lay out both of them or something. I mean, I totally understand they put Nia Jax on the back burner so they could focus Sasha versus Charlotte, which I think will take a turn starting tomorrow night. But, yeah. You know, this Bayley, Dana Brooke, I mean, please, WWE, move on from that.
It's a very poor feud. It's it was just a way to get her away, I guess, from Charlotte, too. Mm-hmm. But also to give Bayley something to do.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, I'm a huge Bayley fan. I love Bayley. My child loves Bayley. Bayley's very popular in our house. I've seen Bayley live a couple times, and the crowd reaction's great. But I think following a Hell in a Cell in wrestling with somebody who has like nothing really going on, I could see why a lot of people chose this, you know, as an opportunity to maybe take an extra pee.
Absolutely.
Now, what followed that match?
We had a backstage promo with Jericho, Mick Foley, and Stephanie, and then they announced that starting tonight they were going to have the Raw version of Talking Smack. And go figure, the two guests tonight were going to be Bayley and Roman Reigns talking about their stellar matches.
Yeah.
But, so for those that are interested, they hyped it up as being hosted by Jerry Lawler, Booker T, Lita, and Renee Young, I guess the host of the pre-pay-per-view stuff. But that's going to be, I think, a weekly thing now, Raw Talk. That's what it's called. But after that, the next match on the card was Enzo and Kaz versus Andy and the Big Gal, also known as the Club.
Andy and the big gal.
Ugh.
Huge, huge ovation for Enzo and Kaz, as it would be, you know, in Boston. But I have to say, I'm big fans, like them for a long time. I thought the jokes were pretty bad. I didn't think this was the weakest I thought I've seen them do the jokes in the beginning.
Really? I got to tell you, I know this is going to sound nuts. I thought this was probably the second best promo that they've ever cut on the main roster. Only because Kaz hit all of his points spot on. Enzo hit all his points spot on. The crowd was into every little thing. The rhymes made sense. It had the Boston feel to it. It just, to me, it was just smooth. And I was like, okay, you know, they hit a home run tonight, so we could give the win for the Club. But I thought they were on point tonight. I loved it.
Yeah, the crowd, the most important thing was coming out of those first two matches, this was something you could see the crowd was into.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, the crowd was, even with fighting the Bullshit Club or whatever the fuck they're called, the Good Brothers, whatever they're called, the crowd was way into them. They had an enormous pop. I see a lot of more of their shirts in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think I saw somebody dressed as one of them at Comic-Con. I'm almost positive.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, which doesn't surprise me. But the match itself was pretty good. I think we're at a point now where if the Bullet Club guys don't win a match, you could see that wheels are totally come off that. Enzo and Kaz can afford to lose in a big market, and it doesn't really hurt them.
Absolutely. I'll tell you this much, though. You know, even though the Club won, they hit, I guess, what's called the magic killer. I think that's what they're calling it. Right before their finisher. And I want people, if you watch the match again, take notice of this. You know, I am big fans of Enzo and Kaz. You know, I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. But the punches that Enzo was hitting Luke Gallows with are some of the most retarded, dopiest, unbelievable punches. I mean, Luke Gallows, if you watch that flurry right before the match ended, I almost wanted to throw up. I said, this is fucking, you know, I know it's entertainment, but Jesus Christ, the way he was punching Gallows, I thought Gallows was like going to sell it and then turn around and hit a big boot immediately, like, you know, it didn't faze him. But he actually like went on one knee and actually sold it. And I'm like, what? It was horrible. But thank God, you know, the match ended right after that. They got the 1-2-3. But, you know, this, I don't like what they're doing with the club. I don't like, even though they won tonight, I just don't feel any momentum with them.
Now, but what is there left to do for them? Because it seems that they can't give them the belts. They've lost way too much. Enzo and Cass don't really need belts. You know what I mean? Like, they could just come out. They could lose four more pay-per-views in a row, and they would still get heat.
Absolutely. But they're losing more than they're winning.
Yeah, they are losing a lot lately. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not hurting them at all.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt them.
No.
But does this even help? But is it too late to help, you know, the club?
No, I mean, obviously, the belts have to come off a New Day in order for the club to get any momentum, because the club already had their feud with New Day with the, you know, the balls and the jars and all that stuff. So
horrible.
That was horrible. And the feud was so extended that it can't be revisited until further notice. So I think ultimately you got to get those belts off of New Day, whether it's Cesaro and Sheamus or someone else, and then have Gallows and Anderson attack whoever the new tag team champs are, and hopefully that'll lead to a run. Or what's going to have to happen is maybe have like a 8 or a 10 tag team, you know, match gauntlet, something with a whole bunch of tag teams in the ring together, and they are the winners, you know. But as far as a one-on-one feud, I don't know where they go next.
Yeah, I don't know either. And we'll talk about the tag team belts in a little bit coming up. But once there is some speculation that the Survivor Series might get a roster change. In other words, that there might be like some things that happen at the Survivor Series that get trades to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That could be all speculation. The next match after this, which I thought was going to be the main event, I really didn't think that they would follow through with the Chicks as the main event. Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, which is literally what the actual match was.
Yeah, my match of the night.
Yeah, it was a great match. The crowd was red hot for it the entire night. This was something. I don't know if this went as long as Rusev and Roman.
I think it did. Yeah, I think it did. It had to have gone at least 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. But this, I wasn't rah-rah about the ending. I think the ending was a little weird. You know, it was just basically them standing over him, beating him like a World Star Hip Hop video. Like, you know, weird ending, but a hot match. A lot of good things happening here. A lot of table spots. Probably some of the most stiff chair shots we've seen this year, I think. Don't you think? Like, Owens was really stiffing Rollins with chair shots big time.
Yeah, and the way they got Jericho in the match, I thought was smart. I thought it made sense. It was brilliant. I mean, for those that didn't see the match, basically what happened was Kevin Owens took out a fire extinguisher and sprayed the ref with it. And what they did was they opened the cage so they could take that ref out so he could go get assistance. And while the cage door was open, Jericho ran down the entrance ramp and entered into the cage, and they couldn't do nothing about it. So I enjoyed it. I mean, it was very, very physical. I mean, at one point, you know, I got to give Kevin Owens all the credit. And I know you saw this too. Seth Rollins went to powerbomb Kevin Owens through two tables. And at one point, Seth Rollins could not get Kevin Owens up. And it looked like he was going to do AJ Styles' finisher.
You know, that's right. Yeah.
Did you see that? And I was like, oh my God, he's going to drop him on his fucking head. And then you actually saw Kevin Owens literally do a sit-up, like, to get him his weight up in the air to help Seth Rollins. And he sold it by pretending like he was going to punch Seth Rollins in the head. But he powerbombed him through the two tables, and it was beautiful. I mean, that match told the story. I loved it.
Yeah. I thought the match was great. I didn't know how it was going to end. It just seemed like once Jericho interfered, there was only one of two ways it could end. One is the way it did end, with the two of them sort of, you know, overcoming Seth Rollins and making him lose the match. The other was if Owens accidentally hurt or hit Jericho or vice versa, and Seth uses that as a way to capitalize. Yeah. But they didn't go that route. I think that might have been too obvious. I was very happy they didn't go that route, yes. Which they ended up using in a later on match, but not for the main title. So,
right.
And I think Kevin Owens needs to keep this belt. I think it's a mistake. I think Kevin Owens needs to hold on to this belt for the rest of the year.
You know, it's funny. There is a website. I don't know what you even call it. It's called What Culture. And I have not been a fan of What Culture for a very long time. And anybody wants to Google it, when Kevin Owens won the Universal title a couple of months ago, 2 weeks later, What Culture, when Owens had his first title defense, What Culture had all of these articles and blogs up as fact that Kevin Owens was going to drop the title, and they had all these reasons, and they had all these British dumb fucks on YouTube doing these top 10 countdowns, you know, like, why Kevin Owens is going to lose the Universal title? And they were just flat out wrong. And I said all along, I want to see Kevin Owens hold on to this title until WrestleMania.
I would like to see that, but do you think that that's a long shot? I mean, I don't know how many, he's going to have to win a whole shit ton of feuds between now and then to hold on to Mania.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't know if he's going to hold it until WrestleMania. It's doubtful. It would be shocking if he did. It's just wishful thinking on my part, but yeah, I agree with you. I mean, but this Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens feud is not over. It's not over. I mean, tomorrow you're going to have Seth Rollins come out, call bullshit, you know, with the authority of what happened and this and that. And they're going to probably have a stipulation with Jericho. If he comes down, Kevin Owens is stripped of the title. That's what I think is going to be the next step. But it's funny because you would think Hell in a Cell would be the quintessential ending to a feud. And with the exception of Rusev, Roman Reigns, this time around, it doesn't feel like it's the end of feuds. You know, you remember when we were kids, when we used to watch wrestling, it would start off with a regular match, and then it would end with a Texas Death Match, and then it would end with this, and then finally the culmination would be a cage match.
Or a Lose or Leave Town match.
Or a Lose or Leave Town match. And then once that match took place, that was the end of it. And to me, the Hell in a Cell, it doesn't feel like the end of the feud. It just felt like it was a way for Kevin Owens to win without winning cleanly. You know, they don't want Seth Rollins to be pinned clean. Yes, you know, he lost tonight, but Jericho interfered. So I think, right. You know, the next step is Jericho gets banned.
Well, isn't Jericho leaving in November to go on tour with his band?
You never know. Maybe WWE will do a storyline where he gets suspended.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, now there's some people in the chat room speculating that tomorrow night, you know, maybe like Mick Foley will tell Seth, you know, you want to fight the two of them, you just need to get a partner. And because Roman.
No.
That's what I can see that happening. It's going to be Roman and Seth, you know, teaming up to fight Jericho and Owens. I can see it happening.
Actually, you know what? That is not a dumb idea because fans now want to see Jericho hold the belt. You know, he's so over with the list and stupid idiot and, you know, everything else. You know, he's getting big pops. I mean, he was booed after he hit his code breaker on Seth Rollins tonight. But, you know, you listen when Jericho's music hits or you see the backstage segment tonight with him, Foley, and Steph. This guy's getting tremendous pops.
Yeah, people were excited when he came out and his list shit and all that other stuff.
Deservingly so.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's one of the only reasons to really watch Raw in the last couple of months is his stuff with Owens. That's really one of the highlights of every week. Even Raw has been pretty bad the past 6 or 7 weeks, I think.
Yes.
But compared to SmackDown, I think Raw has been, you could miss Raw and you'd be totally fine.
It's hard to miss Raw when you're doing Don Tony and Kevin Castle show, Breakfast with Blasi, Breakfast Soup. You know, it's hard to miss those shows. I can't miss them, you know, but
yeah, I don't miss them, but nothing really is.
Yeah. If I wasn't doing these shows, I would definitely miss a couple of weeks for sure. In fact, I got news for you. I'm actually going to, if I could bribe Mitch tomorrow, if he's around, I'm going to ask him if he could fill in for me tomorrow. I think I want to take Monday off for various reasons. So You know, I actually, once in a while, I actually enjoy watching something else on a Monday night other than Raw. I'll watch it maybe Tuesday or Wednesday and see what it's all about. But once in a while, I actually like to break up the monotony a little bit.
Well, it is Halloween, so I expect them to do something dopey.
Yeah, they are. They're doing a Halloween theme to it. So you might.
Where are they going to be tomorrow night? Does anybody know? Are they still in Massachusetts tomorrow? Or are they?
I don't know. Someone in the chat, if you could just let us know where Raw will be tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they are. I don't know if they're still in Boston tomorrow. But all in all, I think that match was the highlight of the night. I think you would agree. I think most people in the chat would agree that was probably the strongest match of the night. You know, and then from that point, you know, we had two of our three Hell in the Cell matches. And I should point out, nobody dove off a cage. There was no blood. And it was basically a tables and chairs match.
Yeah. And thanks to everyone in the chat. Tomorrow they will be in Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay. So they'll be they'll be in Connecticut tomorrow. I mean, I don't know. Who knows what they'll do tomorrow? It is Halloween. So
Yeah.
Most people are at a party last night. You know what I mean? People aren't going out on Monday night for Halloween.
No, I want to just make note of one thing. One of my favorite spots in the match tonight was Kevin Owens hit such a beautiful DDT on Seth Rollins. Anybody remembers how RVD used to take DDTs?
You talk about the one on the chair?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was awesome. It was fucking awesome. It just reminded me of how RVD used to take those DDTs where he would just, it looked like he landed head first and then popped up from his head. It was just fucking phenomenal. Loved it.
Yeah, there was a lot of really great little spots in that match. I mean, that's what you get when you have two of the best young guys you have in the company, you know, going all out.
Yes.
Which probably, I think that should have probably been the main event, but we'll get to that at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was our second Hell in the Cell match. Which I think, did they go to the break at that point?
No, right after this, we had Toe Jam Perkins. I call him Toe Jam because when I watch TJ Perkins wrestle, it's like pulling Toe Jam out of my feet. What it is. I mean, to me, it's Toe Jam Perkins versus Lieutenant Dan. Because every time, I don't know if you remember Forrest Gump, but every time I see Brian Kendrick in the ring, on the mat, injured, like crawled up in a ball, he looks like Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump.
Yeah, J.R. Fraser in the chat brought something up that I do remember. Somebody yelled at Kendrick on camera. I was like, get a haircut, you fucking hippie. and then the next person next to him, I guess TJ Perkins wears Nikes. And somebody yells, Nikes suck.
Do you know Kress, loyal listener, longtime listener, love playing fantasy baseball with him. He actually emailed this to me, and I only listened to it for a couple of seconds. But I don't know if he was joking or if it is correct. Now, I'm not like into wrestling theme music like I used to, but he said that TJ Perkins's entrance theme is either the training video from Mike Tyson's Punch Out, or it's like a rendition of it. And he actually emailed me the video, the training video from Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and it does sound the same. But
yeah,
since I don't have Toe Jam's theme music in my computer, I couldn't like listen to them like next to each other. But look out for that, people.
TJ Perkins, I've said this before, is horrible. He's a good high spot guy. He's a good guy to wear a mask and never speak. But when that dude talks, he sets himself back like half of the battle is over at that point. Every time that dude opens his mouth, it's a bad move.
Yeah.
And his intro, his Scott Pilgrim intro, I've said this many, many times, it's not happening. There was no reaction to him coming out of the ring. None.
His entrance, his goofy facial things, what he does with his hand, the whole package. That would be perfect for Japan.
Yeah.
But in the United States, I always think back to 1997. Yes, the Cruiserweights came into WCW Nitro in 1995. But 1997, 98, whatever it was, when WWF tried to do their light heavyweight division, they brought in Taka and others. I think back to that era, and I try to envision Toe Jam on either Nitro or WWF's light heavyweight division. And I can't see this guy being nothing but a jobber. And, you know, he's a nice guy. He's got unbelievable ability. But when he's talking, Brian, we grew up together. Hit message, Toe Jam. I don't give a fuck. Brian, we drove up and down the road together. I still don't care. Brian, you got to go out there and do it. Do it. Do it. Fuck you. I want to see your head get cracked open. Yeah. There's nothing about, I don't care if he's the voice of reason. I don't care if he would have tried to help Brian up today thinking he broke his knee. You know, he's just someone, and it's not jealousy. You know, I'm in my 40s. I'm 258 pounds. I'm not a cruiserweight, okay? I'm not jealous of Toe Jam on TV. All I know is that I've been watching wrestling since 79. And unless this guy does unfucking believable moves, if he was Neville and Apollo Crews rolled into one with some charisma from like the Alexander guy or whatever, then I would say, okay, maybe. But, you know, I want to just mention this really quick. That's one of the things that pissed me off earlier in the night. They made a comment saying that Cedric Alexander is rising up the ranks in the cruiserweight division. I'm like, rising up what? Well, who's number three? I mean, it's like he to me, Cedric Alexander blows away Toe Jam in the ring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so.
I don't know who Toe Jam saw naked behind the scenes. I don't know who he blew. I don't know if maybe he's one of these cancer victims, or maybe his mom or his sister's got fucking breast cancer, and maybe he's doing all these. I don't know what good deeds he's done. I don't know who in the back looks at, and I'm not trying to be really terrible on this guy, but I don't know who in the back, seriously, everybody listen, I don't know who in the back could look at this guy and say, yeah, this guy's our cruiserweight champion. Who?
Well, when you line him up against all, and this is what I said a couple weeks ago on The Soup, because a lot of people are like, oh, give him time. I'm like, give him time. The guy has been in the business for a really long time. And not for nothing, that cruiserweight tournament was deep as fucking balls deep. You could have picked eight other guys over that dude, and they would have done a better job.
Yeah, well, you know, honestly, I say it to this day. My choice all along was fucking, who did he wrestle in the final against? I'm drawing a blank. The Japanese guy.
Oh, was it Kent, right?
No, Kota Ibushi. That was my pick.
Sorry, Kota Ibushi.
And honestly, I felt that if that was my pick all along. And if WWE would have inked Kota Ibushi for a contract, I think he would have been your cruiserweight champion.
Well, that was a weird too, that they had him without a contract and they gave him a semifinal on a premier television spot. But part of me feels like they felt like they already had a couple of Asian champions, and they were like, well, shit, you know, we already got a couple Asian champions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, the NXT champion's Asian, the female champion's Asian. How many Asian guys?
I'm just glad that Lieutenant Dan got this belt off of Toe Jam, because it's just...
Well, the match itself was not a... it would have been a great opening match on Nitro in 1997.
No, it wouldn't have. You know what it would have been? He should have been a young... If he was on Nitro, he would have been one of the young dragons.
Yeah, under a mask.
Yeah, under a mask. Billy Kidman, when he first came into Nitro, and he was really, really like clean-cut vanilla, looked like a baby in the ring. You know, even Billy Kidman still looked better than Toe Jam. I don't think Toe Jam would have done anything on Nitro. They would have had like Hoovy on the opposite side of the ring, or Ultimo Dragon, or Ultimate Dragon, however they called him, and he would have been on the opposite side of the ring. He would have got his ass kicked. He doesn't have any great look to him. He doesn't have a sympathetic look. He wants to be the milquetoast good guy, but he doesn't have that look. He's got that look that if you're in a game room with him, you want to fucking stick the joystick up his ass. You know, there's nothing about him that I like, and he's talented. I'm not taking away his talent, but I don't know why he's in the position that he's in. Because I see Cedric Alexander, I see, you know, Gulak, and I see others, and I'm saying to myself, these guys are putting rings around this guy. Why is this guy this cruiserweight champion? Why is he in this big storyline with Kendrick?
Yeah, which clearly, I don't know. I think they may have pulled the belt off him because of the anemic crowd reaction.
Yeah, he came out today, got no reaction.
The dabbing and the Super Nintendo music, I mean... Superman, if you're in your 20s, you don't know dick about Super Nintendo. That's the other thing I don't get too. It's like, that's an 80s, like early 90s video. He's all the video game references. It's like, this dude's only in his 20s, right? Like,
No, he's 32. 32 or 33.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's like 32. When Brian Kendrick called him a kid, I laughed. I said, wait a minute, he's only like 5 years younger than Brian Kendrick. He's like 32 or 33.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought he was 28, but still the video game
reference. 31. Somebody's saying 31. Right. So he's in his 30s. I know.
The video game references are like dated video. They're not like current video game references. It's just like, and the dabbing is so like last year. I'm just like, everything about is out is ring attire. I don't know, man. I think he was a big mistake. I think maybe they're realizing it was kind of a mistake. And they throw it on Kendrick. I mean, I like Brian Kendrick. I hate his ring attire looks like, you know, somebody's grandmother's couch. I don't know. They got to give him a better outfit.
I could deal with Kendrick. I have no problem with Kendrick, really. I mean, he's annoying. You know what I mean? But he backs it up in the ring, and he knows how to play up to the crowd. And personally, I want to see Cedric Alexander versus Brian Kendrick next.
Yeah, I assume that. I mean, I don't know if they're going to keep hot potatoing this belt. But once again, they're failing the cruiserweight division. This should not have gone on when it did. The match, they had no chemistry. I don't know what they'll do tomorrow night. They'll probably have one match, and they had to get the belt off Perkins. I think that was a highlight for me, is that I don't have to see his terrible promos where he looks like he's in a high school musical.
I feel bad for you. I feel bad for you because I don't think those promos are going anywhere. I mean, the only difference is he won't be wearing a title around his waist.
Yeah, but that means that's room for other guys. I mean, maybe they're realizing that, you know, they have Cedric Alexander, they have Swan, they have Gulak, they have a couple of other dudes. I mean, and by the way, they have a perfectly good guy they should give this to in Neville, who is just completely done. I mean, like, this has Neville written all over. Not that Neville's a great promo speaker and he looks like a Lord of the Rings character, but, you know, at the very least, he's earned it. You know what I mean? I didn't think T.J. Perkins really. What was he, manic for fucking 3 years?
I think he wrestled as Suicide for a cup
and
of coffee.
And he's Matt Mannix or something.
Yeah, right? Whatever he is, it's, I don't know whose idea it was. See, when they took the mask off of Mysterio and they took the mask off of Hoovy in WCW, Psychosis, I probably would have kept it on. But when they took it off of Hoovy and Ray, they actually, for the women, they actually looked hot. For the women, like, they were attractive looking, you know what I mean? Like, this guy just looks like a goofy, nerdy, milquetoast nobody, you know what I mean? Like, he just, if you saw him in a store, you would never even think that the guy is a wrestler, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, because yeah, he's a cruiserweight and this and that. There's just nothing about him that stands out that would make fans want to get into him. Why would kids want to get behind Toe Jam? Why would maybe girls to a certain extent? But
what girl? I mean, he gets gets some big reaction, but he gets no reaction.
None.
Nothing.
Absolutely none.
Sad.
You look at, and I swear on a stack of Bibles, when I started complaining about Toe Jam about a month ago, I made it my business that whenever he came out for a match, that I paid attention to the crowd. Not him entering the ring, climbing the ropes. I paid attention to the crowd, see what kind of reaction he would get. And it's next to none. I would say that hype bros probably get a better reaction than him.
I think they do. I definitely think Zack Ryder gets a better reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 100%. Look, they tried. They gave, I don't know how, he was not even in my top four to get that belt when I looked at the brackets in the beginning. For some reason, they like him. Some people speculate because he's Filipino and they don't have really a Filipino guy. I don't know how many Filipino people are clamoring for a champion in WWE.
But you know what? If they honored his Filipino heritage this day in Filipino history, if they would have focused on his Filipino heritage and we all knew that he was Filipino and they kept bringing up that he was Filipino, then I could say, okay, maybe they're doing it because he's the first Filipino cruiserweight champ, whatever it is. But they're not even mentioning his nationality. So why would we even care? You know, makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, but J.R. Frazier is saying they do tours in the Philippines, and he's the only Filipino guy they have in the
All right,
roster.
So give him the belt the day before they tour and take it off of them the day that they leave Philippines.
Yeah, and I would like to see it go to Neville and for them to start maybe not. I could do without a promo from some of these guys for a while. There's really no, I mean, the whole premise too, Brian Kendrick being like, you got to let me win, man. You got to let me win. And TJ going, what? You want to win? You got to prove it out there. That's where you got to win. Show me that you're the Brian Kendrick that I remember. And this is just fucking sad, dude. Just like some Bush League.
I said it last week. They should have continued that into the ring, and they should have had Toe Jam get pissed off and say, get up, you know, because like he was, you know, like Kendrick wanted him to do it. And just like try to like snap into some emotions to Kendrick and then piss off Kendrick. Kendrick beats the fuck out of him and wins, you know, but it was just, you know, come on. I'm glad he lost.
Yeah, that to me was one of my highlights, was him losing.
Absolutely.
And if I never see him dab again, I would probably, if I had a wish, I might, instead of world peace, I might wish for him not to dab anymore.
Put it this way. You know, it was getting to the point that if somebody said to me, look, you know, you vote for Hillary, you know, we'll make sure that he's never on your television ever again. I'd actually consider voting for Hillary.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know if I could vote for Hillary.
I don't know if I could either, but
I'm fairly certain I will never, I would, if I was at a live thing and I heard that Nintendo, Super Nintendo theme, I would use it as an excuse to take an extra pee or to get an extra snack.
Yeah, and if this audio ever got back to him, you know, no, nothing personal against Perkins. I mean, you know, he's a good talent, he's a good wrestler, but, you know, for the masses and for the WWE Universe, you are not it. You know, you are far from it. I don't think you will ever be it. I don't care if you're in the cruiserweight it. There's just nothing about you that stands out. You don't do unbelievable fucking flips and moves. And now you got a whole division doing those unbelievable flips and moves. You better have something else that makes you stand out. And being Mr. Goody Two-Shoes that plays video games, I'm sorry, that doesn't work.
Yeah, and we have that already in Xavier Woods. So I don't understand why.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Somebody's got that gimmick already.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Speaking of Xavier Woods, that was the next match, was New Day versus Sheamus and
Cesaro.
Yeah, this did not go the way I expected it to go, actually.
No, I got to tell you, the people that did our contest on Patreon and our Facebook page, you know, obviously we only have one winner on each one because they had the most points, but I got to tell you, there's probably about 25 people that actually said Sheamus and Cesaro by DQ.
Yeah, I actually thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to win the belts because I was like, none of the other belts are going to change hands. And I didn't even count the cruiser with the purple belt as something significant. I was like, they have to, you can't have four titles and nobody change hands. But I didn't really consider the cruiserweight. You know, it's not to me. I'm still getting used to it. So, but this was interesting because they had that little weird thing in the beginning, which was kind of doofy. And then, of course, New Day cut, you know, their New Day-esque promo. And New Day were very over in Boston. Can't say they weren't. They were very over. I don't know how much longer this is going to go on for, but it seems like it's still making a lot of money. I actually was in FYE over the weekend, and there was like a 6-foot box of Bootios out in front of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a giant, like a life-size box of Bootios outside. And they had the New Day shirts, and they had the new Day shirt and some other New Day stuff.
But if they're not over, why do they need a belt? You know what I mean? It's like we've always heard that. Like, if you know, what bothers me about it is because now I feel like WWE is determined to take that record off of Demolition because they're in that lawsuit. And it's only 40 days away, and New Day will be your all-time tag team holder. Our
good friend Johnny Florida, shout out to Johnny Florida,
yes,
is saying it's 53 days away. So that's a long-ass time, though.
It is a long-ass time, but, you know, with Survivor Series, they don't have to defend it. You know, they could do some bullshit, you know, like tag team Raw versus SmackDown deal, and titles aren't even on the line. So, you know, this is probably, if WWE was going to make them break the record, this is probably the perfect opportunity for them because they can get away with them not defending the belts on the next pay-per-view. Now, don't get me wrong, they might defend the belts, but if you think of Survivor Series and how they want to do Raw versus SmackDown, this is WWE's perfect way of saying, you know, look, you know, we'll just have them, you know, compete in a, you know, Raw versus SmackDown thing where titles aren't on the line.
Yeah, I mean, how important is it for them to break the record, though? I mean, like, you know, Nikki Bella broke the record, and nobody gave a flying fuck. I mean, I'm not saying they're Nikki Bella. I'm just saying Nikki Bella broke AJ Lee's record. They made kind of a big deal out of it, but you'll never hear about that ever again. Nobody cares. I don't know. I mean, It's not like there's another hot team clamoring to take the spot. Yeah, Enzo and Kaz, but Enzo and Kaz, clearly there's no plans for them to get the belt. You got to remember, too, Enzo and Kaz never even had the NXT belt.
True. Very true.
They never won it, and it didn't affect them at all. I mean, maybe the long-term plan is that it's going to take a very long time to get the belts. Maybe Mania, I could see that. But not off of a New Day. I think they have to get it off of a heel tag team.
Yes, absolutely.
So I mean, match in particular, just to touch some points on the match, New Day versus Sheamus and Cesaro, and it looked like possibly they would lose the match. There was the inevitable Sheamus kick Cesaro in the face, and New Day retained the belts again. So it's like, are we going back to a Sheamus and Cesaro feud? Jesus Christ.
No, I think that they're going to have another match, and I think Cesaro will inadvertently hit Sheamus, and I don't think they're splitting up anytime soon. They're actually like an oddball tag team where I think there is some chemistry there. The DQ finish today was their way of not having Cesaro and Sheamus get pinned clean, and it gives New Day, you know, more time to pursue that record. And you actually gave a win to Cesaro and Sheamus tonight. Just unfortunately was not for the belts.
Right. You know, it just was. I really thought it would change hands. I thought it was a major market. It was a big card. It just seems like there's nobody really, you know, like when a title changes hands, because we've been watching this stuff a long time. It's usually because the guy taking the belt is hotter than the other guy. You know what I mean? Like, or he's got some heat or momentum. There's nobody coming up that you could justify really taking the belts off the New Day, even though we're all kind of very tired of the shtick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like, who, you can't give it to Enzo and Cass, because they've been losing too much. You can't give it to the Good Brothers there, because they've lost. They won that feud already. And Cesaro and Sheamus, I mean, maybe, because Vince McMahon thinks Sheamus is the top guy. So, I don't know. It wasn't really a terrible match or anything like that, but it wasn't, nothing's resolved. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I blame this on WWE. I don't blame it on the tag teams. I mean, Gallows and Anderson had some pretty damn good momentum. You want to go even further back. I still don't understand why fucking Harper and Rowan didn't get tag belts last year or whatever it was. You know, there was some decisions WWE made with some tag teams, even the Dudleys. The Dudleys came back, even though they're older, they could still do it, and they were over with the crowd. And there was some points when the Dudleys were going after New Day and they didn't win. I said, doesn't make sense. Then the New Day went against Gallows and Anderson and they didn't win. It didn't make sense. Then you had there's been at least three different times where New Day feuded with a tag team, and we honestly thought, okay, it's time to change the belts, and it didn't happen. Right. And I have a feeling Cesaro and Sheamus hopefully will break that streak. You know, because it's not just a streak of 400-something days of being a champion, but it's also a streak of several feuds where it seemed right to take the belts off of them, and they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the end result here is. I really don't. Do you split them up? It seems like it's one of the few things that's actually popping crowds and making money. So I feel like if it's popping crowds and making money, as much as I'm sick of seeing it, and I know a lot of people in the chat room and a lot of people listening are just as sick of seeing it, to give it to somebody else for a very vague or an ambiguous reason, which they do all the time, but for some reason they haven't done it with this particular tag team belt. Yeah. It looks like they might be keeping it for a while. I don't know. I really, really don't know where we go from here. But this was a match you could have also seen on Raw.
Yeah.
You've seen on Raw.
Yeah. Nothing about it felt like pay-per-view quality.
Nothing. Yeah, not at all. And it went on right before, which was, I guess this was sort of a milestone. I mean, you can't say it wasn't. Sasha and Charlotte main eventing Hell in a Cell with a big build-up. I think one of the crucial mistakes of this match right before it started was showing highlights of really good Hell in a Cell matches to let you know that you're not going to see any of this stuff coming.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, it was literally like, you know, watching a porn before you go on a date with a virgin, because you know you're not getting laid before you leave the house. I mean, it was like seeing every highlight of every good Hell in a Cell that we all sit back and go, ah, wow. They member buried you. And then, you know, they set you up for a very odd very, I don't want to say it was sloppy, but a very bizarrely booked title match that the crowd, I will say to its credit, the crowd really didn't abandon. I didn't feel like the crowd abandoned the match, but I certainly did. I was getting too late.
You know, I wrote on Twitter, you know, Sasha, it's 10:51. Pop up off the gurney, hit the ring. You're selling it too much. They're putting a neck brace on. And I'm talking in storyline. They're putting a neck brace on you. You're crying. You can't move. All right. This ain't going to be like fucking Incredible Hulk that all of a sudden your clothes are going to rip off and then you're going to be this behemoth monster. It's just not believable where you're incapacitated on the floor on a gurney for 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden, because the tie, I mean, that, what the fuck is that? You know, so now it's like training a dog, you know, like, okay, you know, you see a guy that's trying to break into the house, get him, like a magic word, get him, and the dog doesn't do nothing. And then all of a sudden you say, you're new, WWE, oh, fuck that, I'm getting out of the gurney, I'm no longer crippled, and, you know, and just the whole match just reminded me of that. There was like, look, I know WWE, you know, we're in the PC era, you know, we want to make a statement, you know, show women could close out a pay-per-view, blah, 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 you know, fine, whatever, it's fine. You got your spot, you know, good for you, blah, 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 blah. But you also got to tell a story in there, you know, and when we're supposed to believe that Sasha's back is just about broken in half, and she's almost crippled, and she's doing the three Eddie Guerrero suplexes 20 minutes after. Come on. Right. You know what I mean? It's just like, it was physical. They busted their ass. It was a very good match. Don't get me wrong. But it was just there. And it just, I don't understand. I like the beginning of the Hell in the Cell, where the cell was coming down. And Charlotte looked nervous. She was like looking like she was going to lose it. Like she's, oh my God, I'm in a cell. What am I going to do? This and that. But then, you know, once they got in the cell, it was like it just could have been like a regular street fight, cage match. It was just.
It was a tables match.
Yeah, it was very physical. And, you know, Charlotte keeps, you know, her saying over and over again, you're going to respect me. You're going to respect. But meanwhile, every fucking promo that Sasha said, almost every other promo in the last month and a half, what does she say in her promos? I respect you, Charlotte, but I am the boss. And I'm, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. I honestly, like I said, I had no problem that it closed out the show. Yeah, but this 20 minutes of Mick Foley, you know, like, you know, as if he fell off the top of the cage and, you know, he's being stretched out to the back and he gets off the gurney and Terry Funk is trying to stop him. No, don't go in the cage. And they're trying to do that with Sasha. I'm like, oh, give me a fucking break.
Well, I, you know, to take a step back here, I blame the reason why this match, I think, didn't kind of deliver. I don't know if everyone felt this way, but it definitely felt this way to me, was Mick Foley. Mick Foley, who I can't even believe how much he just prostitutes himself for some of this crap. It's embarrassing. When he was screaming at them, when Sasha was doing that bad promo, and Sasha, I don't know, Sasha's got to get herself together because Charlotte is just walking over her in promos at this point. It's embarrassing. But when Mick Foley's yelling at her, like, you'll never be the same. He's going to destroy you. And I'm like, dude, you're setting us all up because we both know they're not going to do anything significant in that cage.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have just sowed the seeds of people being discontentful because there is no way either one of them are doing anything remotely like you've done in that cage.
Yeah.
We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And to have three Hell in a Cell matches with no blood. I mean, I'm not saying that they needed to fucking throw themselves off the top of the cage. I'm really. But it's like, what was the most recent Hell in a Cell match? Shane versus Undertaker at Mania?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And Shane gets thrown like fucking 40 feet. Shane, who hasn't wrestled, who isn't even a real wrestler in like 10 years. You know, I mean, I thought we'd maybe see some kind of crazy spot, like something significant. But to not really utilize the cage in any way. And just go back to tables and tables and tables and tables. Why don't you just have a tables match?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you have it was like a TLC match without the ladder, essentially.
One thing that really bothered me when I was saying earlier about, you know, how I'm a stickler for perfection. What really annoyed the shit out of me is the beginning of the match when Charlotte climbed the cage a little bit, Sasha Banks climbed the cage a little bit. Charlotte fell off the cage, and then they were going to do a spot where Charlotte caught Sasha as she was still, like, climbed on top of the cage, and she was going to powerbomb her through a table. What happened? Sasha Banks was too high on the cage, and Sasha Banks, once Charlotte... Now, I want everybody to picture this if you didn't see it. You know, Sasha Banks is about maybe 7 feet up in the air, and, you know, she's got to be about 6 feet up in the air in order for Charlotte to grab her backward, fall backwards and put a powerbomb through the announcer's table. So Sasha was about a foot too high, and Charlotte is on the cage trying to grab Sasha's legs, powerbomb her through the table. And what does Sasha Banks do? She climbs down. She climbs down. I mean, instead of like trying to kick and, you know, in suspension of disbelief, you know, storyline, trying to kick, break away, then you fall down and Charlotte catches you, put you through the table. Okay, fine. But Sasha actually climbed down. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, this is the reason, and I'm not trying to be extra harsh on the women. This is the reason why some people, you know, you can't just plan spots. You know, for 2-3 weeks, all they did was plan. Oh, we got this. We'll do this table spot on the outside the ring. Oh, we'll do this chair shot on the opposite side of the ring. Oh, we'll do this table spot in the middle of the ring. We'll do this. And, you know, that was a match filled with spots.
Yeah.
It didn't really tell. I mean, it told a story, you know, about the back and everything else. But, you know, when you don't execute perfectly, you know, to me, it just... you know, really sours me on a large part of the match. And it's a shame because they really did bust their asses.
No, they did. And it was physical. I mean, there was no, but this thing where like Sasha can't continue. And it was very cheesy. And it was like, she jumps off the gurney, starts kicking people. And it's just like, they could have done without that.
Yeah. And to Ted in the chat, this ain't fucking Monday morning quarterback, and it's called reviewing. All right. Yeah. And that was a major spot. Remember, she was fucking crippled for 15 minutes on a gurney. You don't fucking, you know, have the person climb the cage, and then she's too high up in the air, and then she fucking climbs down. Oh, Charlotte, let me climb down 2 steps, and now you could powerbomb me through. All right? That's inexcusable. All right? Let it go because it's the women, and they busted their ass, and they did fucking put on a good performance, and we forgive them. Everybody's allowed to make mistakes. But to me, that was a big mistake.
Yeah, it was a big mistake. I mean, I judge it like this. The crowd was very into it. The crowd was excited. It did go a little long. I think the other matches going long hurt this. This had a lot of stuff going against it, quite frankly. In order for this to succeed and be like a water cooler fucking conversation to some extent, they needed to either have a huge spot that you would just watch on the internet over and over again. Or, you know, or some just and it didn't have that, or it, you know, it had to tell a really, really good fluid story that you walked away going, wow, this is one of the best women's matches of the year. Mm-hmm. It didn't have either one of those things.
No, but it did what I said about 2 months ago, that your brother and a lot of listeners thought it was nuts. And I said that, you know, when they took the belt off of Sasha Banks so quickly, and they were trying to sell it as a back injury, and then a week later, oh, you know, she makes the announcement that she's going to come back. You know, I said at that time that they were going to play hot potato with the title a little bit because they're trying to set up WWE's next greatest feud. You know, like you have WWE rivalries on the WWE network. Charlotte versus Sasha Banks will be on the rivalry section. This is WWE's decision to have the next biggest rivalry. I said that about 2 months ago, and everybody thought I was insane. You're now getting what I thought was going to happen, and this feud is not over.
Well, it's not over, but you know, Sasha lost the belt now again, so now she's lost the belt twice in 4 months. One of the reasons we still don't know if it was a real injury or was just for our honeymoon. I don't know. I don't know that there's anything wrong with Sasha. Isn't that all a work, the back stuff?
For the most part, she's not as injured as everybody thinks she is.
Yeah. I mean, I was very critical of Charlotte the first half of the year. I took a major beating from people for criticizing Charlotte. Second half of the year, she's in my top 5 wrestlers without question.
Yeah.
I think she's done a phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
She was good tonight. We've definitely seen her better. I'm going to say that this was just okay. I don't know what it, I think I know what could have saved it, but I will say that I'm glad that Charlotte won. I like Charlotte being the heel champ. She does a really good job as a heel champ. She channels her dad's kind of charisma to some extent. I don't know what's next for this feud. Where do they go from here? Because Hell in a Cell really should sort of end a feud. So somebody said, are they going to do an Iron Woman match? I mean, like, what are they going to do?
Handshake?
No, really, like, what else could they do? Like, what else could they do?
Handshake. I wouldn't be surprised tomorrow on Raw.
I quit.
We see a handshake. No.
I say I quit.
I don't know. I think a handshake.
And then Mick Foley could be like, do you know what an I quit match is like? Do you know? And
I'm like, yeah. Well, remember the match with The Rock? Took like 45 chair shots to the head. His head was split open.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where they go from here. It was a milestone. They had two women in a cage headline a pay-per-view. It's never happened before.
And honestly, was it worthy after the fact to close the pay-per-view? I have no problem with it. I think it did enough to close the pay-per-view. They did not embarrass themselves. I just think, for me, match of the night by far was Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to argue with on that. I think match of the night clearly was KO. KO and Jericho versus Rollins. I would say the most disappointing match for me, I got to go with the Cruiserweight match, and it's not because it was a bad match. But unlike the Romans match, which did have some chemistry to it and some crowd, the crowd was kind of there. The lack of a crowd for me, that's a killer on television. I mean, like you could just sense it. It comes through the fucking screen.
It didn't surprise me, though. It really didn't. I mean, there really hasn't been a time. I mean, the biggest crowd reaction that Perkins has gotten so far on the main roster is when Kendrick fucking cheap shotted him after they had their match on the last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
The fans were chanting one more time. They just, that's what they wanted. And to the guy in the chat room that wrote a few moments ago that shame on us that we want him released, did we say anything about being released? All we said was we don't understand the position, the push, and the fact that they gave him the championship. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, like I've said on the Monday show, you see the six-man tag that took place tonight before the pay-per-view. You see the match that took place last week and the week before on Raw with Alexander and others. And I say to myself, why isn't one of these guys the champion? Why is Perkins the champion? It doesn't make sense. If Perkins was New Day over or Bayley over, or you know, anybody popular over, then I would say, okay, I'm fine with it. But he comes out to no crowd reaction at all. And he's now been on television for a couple of months, and he still gets zero crowd reaction. So it was appropriate that they took the belt off of him today.
Yeah, and I don't know anybody who would say that was one of the highlight matches of the night. I don't know.
No, the outcome was a highlight, but the match itself was...
Yeah, the outcome. I'm happy with the outcome. I think you need to tone that guy down. And I like him in the tag team tournament that I'm seeing him in NXT. He's working good in that because he's not really talking. And he's just, you know, he's tagging in and out of a match. You know, maybe that's going to be his destiny. You know, maybe he could form a tag team with somebody and they'll be a really awesome tag team and they won't talk that much.
You think they could turn him heel?
No. What is he going to do? Like, can you imagine heel promos from that guy? Everybody shut up. Shut up, fans. You guys, when I was living in my car, where were you guys sleeping in a bed?
At least I had a car. You know, I could picture him, you know, getting like Rock heat. Not, you know, Rocky sucks heat, but, you know, like when Rocky first came in, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Rock, but, you know, Rocky Maivia, he was the blue chipper. You know, everybody's supposed to love him. You know, he doesn't have to be on that level, but, you know, I could picture him being a heel and just saying to people, shut up, shut up. I could even see things where he could break down and start crying like a little baby.
Yeah, somebody in the chat said he looks like a guy who cries a lot.
Yeah, exactly. See? See?
He does.
Yeah.
Maybe that could call him like crying TJ Perkins. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that could be a crying TJ Perkins. Where it's just like, when I dabbed, you didn't clap and I did my dab and it was awesome.
You know
why
what?
You like it.
I just thought of it. Then I'll stop calling him Toe Jam and I'll start calling him Tear Jerker.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Tearjerker Perkins.
I like crying TJ Hawkins. Like crying TJ Hawkins.
Yep, crying TJ Hawkins.
Crying TJ Hawkins instead of crying TJ Perkins. Yeah. Like screaming Jay Hawkins. All in all, I didn't think the card was bad. I think the card was long. I think all the matches were too long.
Too long.
I don't know what's going on at Raw, but man, the Raw pay-per-views are fucking long as fuck.
They're just sloppy. I mean, it's just not tight. SmackDown's pay-per-view was 2 hours and I think 25 minutes, and it was tight.
Good. It was good.
It was tight. It was good, and it left you wanting more. This one, I was like sitting on my computer. I'm like, all right, John, you know, let's start this right away, please. You know, it was just too long tonight. Too long.
Yeah, it was too long. I would say all in all, highlight clearly the KO match. I liked the KO match, you know, I would say maybe the Sasha. I don't know what else I would call the Sasha Charlotte highlight, but it was definitely good. It was not bad. The low points for me were definitely, I thought the Roman match was too long. We've seen this match already. And definitely the TJ Perkins, anything with TJ Perkins to me is too long.
I put Sasha and Charlotte number two as far as match of the night for me. You know, disappointing. I would go with, I'd be honest with you. I was not disappointed in the Cruiserweight match because I've been underwhelmed with Perkins for months now. So right. I didn't think anything was going to happen tonight to be different from it. The only thing I was concerned about was, you know, I predicted that Kendrick was going to win. I was a little concerned, like, okay, what if they make him lose and they keep this run going further? Like, who's going to feud with him instead, you know? But I tend to say New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus was probably my biggest letdown. One, because New Day could sell the same amount of cereal boxes and not be champions. The only thing they wouldn't be able to do is stand in the middle of the ring and go, "You're WWE World." Well, you know,
he could say your former.
Yeah.
That's why we were your former. But you know what? You got to change shit up too. You can't keep doing that forever.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you don't want to sound negative, you could say you're soon to be three-time WWE. You know, there's many ways to turn a negative into a positive. And, you know, I don't know. But, you know, for a split roster, since the roster's all watered down, because we have split rosters still, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give the pay-per-view, I would say, a 7.5.
Yeah, that's probably where I would go to. And I thought some of the I did not like the way they ended the Sasha Charlotte match. I thought it was kind of abrupt. I don't know. It wasn't like a big spot. I don't know. Maybe I'm just bitter because most Hell in the Cells end with a big spot, and none of these ended with some crazy spot. Like even the Rollins thing. They powerbomb him through two chairs. They did so much worse, dude. They hit Seth Rollins with so many. I'm telling you, go back and watch. He was getting blasted.
Yep.
Owens was blasting him with fucking chairs. And then it was funny because when he hit them back with chairs, he did it kind of gingerly. You know what I mean? Like Rollins did. Owens was careening him with fucking chairs. And then Jericho hit him a couple of stiff shots too.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where that goes. I'm excited for that. I have a feeling Roman will team with Seth Rollins. I'll say tonight, maybe tomorrow. I think that's the way to go. I hope Roman's and Rusev is done. I don't know where we're going with that. No clue.
Were you a little surprised that Triple H didn't make an appearance?
Yes, I thought Triple H was going to interfere in the Rollins match and somehow and cost Rollins, like to really sell the point. Like, oh, now Triple H is beating up Seth too. He'll never overcome these odds. Like that sort of
thing. Yeah.
You know, since Seth is the number one baby face, which is hilarious. But
I thought too, because the match was on so early, I thought it was really going to end the pay-per-view. But when it came on early, I said, okay, maybe Triple H is under the ring and they don't want him to stay in there for an extra hour and a half. You know, maybe he's under there a little bit early, you know, but no, never made an appearance. And still goes back to my original problem with the whole storyline. You know, he screwed Seth Rollins over big time and Seth Rollins was not angry enough to, you know, turn WWE up. Remember, he was going to turn WWE upside down, you know, you know, because of what Triple H did. And it just like went in the back burner.
I don't know. It went nowhere. It went nowhere. Like it was completely, it gave him tension with Stephanie, but he would have had that anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like And that's the other thing, too. Like, now I think all the focus is going to be on the Survivor Series teams, don't you think? This is where everything goes towards tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it's Raw versus SmackDown, and we also have the Halloween theme. So, you know, I don't know what we're going to get tomorrow. I don't think every match is going to be like wrestlers dressing up as other wrestlers and stuff like that. But we will get a share of a few tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so. And then, of course, there was a lot of building tonight, which we didn't talk about, was building up Goldberg and Brock.
Well, I'm sure we'll get an appearance by the Boogeyman tomorrow.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I think he'll show up tomorrow.
Well, it's funny. I was at a Comic-Con in Albany today, and when they were here 6 months ago, Boogeyman was there.
Yeah.
So I thought I might see him today, and then when I didn't see him, I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's doing Raw tomorrow.
Maybe. So, I don't know. So, I don't know. You want to dictate or take some questions from your chat room members?
Yeah,
over there?
I don't, for the people that we usually have people call in, we can't do a call in tonight for technical reasons. So if anybody has a logistical question, not just shout outs, but if anybody has a question,
yeah, because we're going to call it a night, like
we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. But I want to thank all the people in the chat room tonight for sticking it out with us tonight. Of course, Mr. DT himself, who normally does his own, for his own Patreon show.
Yeah, I was going to do one tonight anyway.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Don Tony, but a lot of people are mentioning that apparently, I don't know if this is a big news story, but Vince Russo's mother just passed away.
Yeah, I talked to Vince Russo online earlier today, sending my thoughts to him because he had written something earlier today that she was pretty much on her deathbed, and he was like saying his goodbyes earlier today, and definitely my condolences go out to him.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing remotely funny to be said about that, and not that people are trying to make jokes about it, but there are a few people.
No, and my mom had major heart surgery earlier this year, and she's still trying to recover from that, and that's one of the reasons why I'm thinking of taking off tomorrow night, you know, spend some time over with her and stuff, but you know, sad, you only get one, for most people, you only get one mom, so, you know, my thoughts...
Our thoughts definitely go out to Vince Russo. Sean Walsh asked, do you guys think it was cheap that they tried to pay homage to the Mankind vs. Taker match and the Women's Champ match tonight? I think, I think it hurt the match. I think mentioning Eddie Guerrero a lot, you know, that's her idol. That's cool. But, you know, there wasn't any big kind of Eddie-type spots. What do you think, DT? Do you think they should have mentioned it? I think building it up that way and then not giving us a payoff was a mistake.
I didn't have any problem because of, you know, where Hell in a Cell was and where we're at now. So I didn't have any problem with the video package. You know, I thought it was a little bit unfair to the other two Hell in a Cell matches that took place earlier today. I mean, yeah, it's revolutionary. You got two women closing out, but Jesus Christ, if you know, can't have it both ways. You can't have the women close it out. Oh, revolutionary. You know, they deserve it. They bust their ass. And then when you criticize it, well, the women. You know what I mean? You know, if everybody wants to be treated equally and everybody wants to be judged equally, then when you're praised equally, you have to be able to handle the criticism equally as well. I had no problem with the promos, the vignettes. My only problem with the Eddie tributes is that when you know, you're selling that you're crippled, you know, and you're supposed to play that adrenaline kicked in. That's why you went into the cage. And then you're doing three Eddie Guerrero suplexes to tribute, and you're acting like your back is perfectly fine. It just kills the whole story that led up to that particular moment. I don't like it.
Yeah. Now, our dear friend Stone Mexican Guy has a question. He wants to know, what would have made these cage matches more extreme besides blood, and what was there a spot you really hope you'd see? I don't know necessarily I need to see the blood. It just sort of comes with a lot of these matches. Not in this era, but it does. Spot, yeah, I thought I might see somebody do something crazy off the top of the cage. I really did. Or somebody getting thrown off the cage. What do you think, DT? Was there a spot you thought you would see? Or what would you think would make these more extreme?
I would have had only one Hell in a Cell match. I would have had, because if you would have one Hell in a Cell match, it wouldn't have been compared to the two other matches during the night. And if you wouldn't have had Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and you didn't have Rusev, Roman Reigns, and the only Hell in a Cell match was theirs tonight, I think everybody would probably value that match a little bit higher because of the physicality behind it. But when you're just doing Hell in a Cell match, just because it's never been done before, and all you're doing is spots, and you try to tell a story, but then you like totally like screw up that story several times during it, it just didn't jive with me. And I think they would have gotten away with it if there was only one Hell in a Cell match tonight. There was no need to have Rusev versus Roman Reigns in Hell in a Cell tonight. There was no need for it. Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens, this is only match number two. There was no need for them to be in a Hell in a Cell tonight. All right, they could have had some stipulation or something, but there was no need for them to be in a Hell in a Cell tonight. There isn't that much hatred yet. You know, if there was that, if you want to play hatred with Seth Rollins, then you could have had Seth Rollins versus Triple H in Hell in a Cell. But I would have just had only one Hell in a Cell match tonight.
Okay. I am Jack Bryan says, do you think Owen seems like legit main event level talent at this point? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know he gets a lot of heat. Mish is always bringing that up, like that there are so many filthy casuals talking about Owens being fat all the time, that he sucks because he's fat. Owens having to take down his Twitter page is fucking disgraceful, that people were insulting his wife and his kids so much that he took down his page. I don't know if you heard about that, DT, but
I heard about stuff with his wife. I thought that was just terrible.
Just gross. But yeah, I think Owens proves, I think he proves it every time he's in a high profile match. What, I mean, would you say that that's a fair thing to say?
Yeah. Yeah. Owens is definitely, in this day and age, he has proven he deserves to be main event.
Okay. Here's a good interesting question real quick. We'll take two more after this. James Anthony Mills wants to know, should WWE do a Brock Lesnar like run with Nia Jax and then have her win the title in convincing fashion? I think that's going to happen anyway. DT, haven't you been saying that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, people have been asking me for a month. You're like, what happened to Nia Jax? I said, she's okay. They just, you know, the problem with what WWE did was they were having her so dominant that everybody was talking about her. And then in the meantime, you're trying to get all the focus on Sasha versus Charlotte. And people were saying, but wait a minute, you know, what about Nia Jax? What about Nia Jax? So what they did was they put her on Superstars. They took her off TV. You know, they wanted the focus on Charlotte versus Sasha. And I think once that storyline calms down, tomorrow, next Monday, very, very shortly, Nia Jax will make an appearance, and she will not do the Braun Strowman, I want more competition. She's just going to lay out Sasha or Bayley or someone else, and she's going to lead right into, you know, a title picture for her. She may not win the title immediately, but I think when we see her again, she is going to be thrusted into the top of the women's division. I don't think we're going to see, we may see another squash match here and there, but I think we're going to see her get pushed to the top.
And I'm going to make this the last question so we can get out of here. And this is from Dom Homie. DT, he's asking you specifically, would you book a WWE and Universal title match at Survivor Series, or would you put them in the Raw versus SmackDown match?
You know, I definitely would like to see one or two title matches at Survivor Series. You know, I understand Raw versus SmackDown deal and all of that, but there's no reason why you can't have title matches. And you know what? That might be the perfect place to maybe bring the club moving to SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. WWE could get away with this tomorrow, next week, 2 weeks from now. WWE.com announces that Shane McMahon and Mick Foley made a trade. The club went to SmackDown and coming to Raw is, you know, whoever, you know, Wyatt's. You know, so we could very just see a trade, you know, not even a storyline or anything behind it. But I would like to see at least one or two title matches at Survivor Series. I don't want just Raw versus SmackDown. The roster split only happened a couple of months ago. It hasn't been an extreme amount of time. I don't think fans care that much yet to see Raw guys versus SmackDown guys. I think the only reason why they would want to see it is because the pay-per-view will have more named stars on it.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree with DT. I think they need to defend their belts to keep the belts pliable, you know, and make people care about them. But it also might give them a little bit of a break that they don't have to push a title match or push a contender at that point and put the focus on Raw versus SmackDown.
Well, remember one thing also. I think the SmackDown pay-per-view is within 2 weeks after Survivor Series, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so, no, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, so you know, they don't have to put every match, every title match on Survivor Series, but they could do one. 2 weeks later, you could have another one.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, this seems, every other week, you shake a fucking tree, like two pay-per-views fall out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank, obviously, all the people in the chat room for sticking it out with us. DT for stepping up tonight and helping us out while Mish is dealing with some computer issues and while Joey is probably mending fences with Sasha. Hopefully, they'll end their long-term feud that's been going on for a long time. But I want to thank everybody who kicked into the chat room tonight. For all the good questions and for sticking it out with us. It was a long night. But DT, thank you. So plug away.
Yeah, Monday night, Halloween night, 11:15 p.m. right after Raw, you'll have the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. Don't know if it's going to be myself at Kevin Castle or Mish. It all depends if Mish is up and running with the computer. This coming Wednesday, you will have your next edition of Breakfast Soup, featuring yours truly and Anthony Missionary Thomas. Well, that is on Patreon. I think we may be getting Brandon Foley as well. Shout out to him. And again, I want to thank everybody who took part in the pay-per-view predictions contest tonight, not only on Patreon, but on Facebook as well. Again, kudos to Ernesto and Mark for almost predicting perfectly tonight the outcome of every match. So, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and also I want to thank all the Patreon donors, obviously, not only just to Wrestling Soup, but of course to my my brother Kevin and his partner Don Tony's site as well. And I'm sure they would also like to thank you for your continued
Absolutely.
Patreon donors. Without it, there's really you guys are really a big part of the show for the donors. And for those of you that haven't, please check out the donations page. There's definitely tiers of donations. It's very small incremental amounts of money, and they definitely do go to help keep the shows running and keeping all the upkeep, which can be a big pain in the ball sack. For those of you that don't podcast, as Don Tony will tell you, it ain't cheap and it ain't free. So, shout out to that. So, tune in tomorrow night, as you always do, to the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. And of course, to Wrestling Soup on Thursdays. And for the Patreon donors, I believe we have a new side salad that I recorded with Mish on Friday. And you can find me at Twitter at I Am John Draper, and of course Wrestling Soup, and of course the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show tomorrow night, which will probably have a lot of good stuff talking about the fallout from the pay-per-view tonight, and of course Halloween.
Yes, absolutely. You could also get me on Twitter at Don Tony D, as in Dick. Some people.
Don Tony, thank you so much. I always love.
Oh, thank you. It was fun, absolutely great.
And I will talk to you soon. Everyone, have a great night and a happy Halloween. Be safe.
All right, take care, my friend.
All right,
later. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this joint edition of Wrestling Soup and, I guess, the pay-per-view recap podcast that I have on Patreon. Now, again, this audio will be available not only on Wrestling Soup, but also be available on the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. I want to thank everybody for listening, as always. And I hope you all tune in tomorrow night, 11:15 p.m., right after WWE Raw. Everyone, you can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/DTKCShow. And again, catch me on Twitter, at Don Tony, D as in David. Talk to you all soon. Be well. And if you haven't seen a pay-per-view yet, I would give it a shot. Check it out. Pretty damn good. All right, everyone, I'm out of here. Ciao.